Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM, stream at krcl.org, or download the app on the App Store.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
We fall in our sleep, right back to a strange journey. Precious moments wake us up blue.
My name is Emma Hardiman, and I am Little Moon. I guess my music is some sort of freaky, romantic folk, alternative pop with a sprinkle of Zelda Ocarina of Time. A lot of people will take different approaches to my music and label it various things. And I kind of love being slightly undefined in general. So I think it's a good thing to maybe just say that my music is pretty fluid. My music came from my intention to articulate myself as a young child. I sort of had a difficult time with using words and structuring them in ways that felt satisfying. I couldn't do it with words, but I did feel like I was able to achieve more articulation in music. I grew up with parents that were both musicians and artists, and for myself, that created a culture where it was pretty safe and easy to facilitate music as a way of understanding better. So over time, that of course developed into more songwriting and composition throughout high school, and then in college, focused in on it more as a music major. Studied vocal performance and then with some composition as a minor, and I ended up dropping college because I didn't want to be an opera singer. But, you know, through every chapter of my life, it's been music that has helped me articulate my emotions. So Little Moon before Tiny Desk was, you know, like pretty much the same person now, but maybe a little more aimless before. I think Utah has a very supportive community that I felt prior to winning the competition. I was so used to not winning the competition, and that was very okay for me because I think there was such a kind and generous community that was behind me. And I really, really love my relationships. I love my husband. I love the home and culture that we create. I love my community. I love where I'm at, just in every aspect of my being, and was very comfortable. in that. So when Tiny Desk came around and I ended up winning, it was a tricky thing to digest at first, because I was just so used to the status quo. And I was so used to not winning. I was so used to kind of assuming I'd just be like, maybe Utah big and like just keep it at that. And I was used to keeping myself pretty not as seen outside of Utah. Yeah, I entered Tiny Desk like 4 times. And it was just like a little ritual that I would do every year just for funsies. It was just my own, like an opportunity to just practice connecting with my own community and bringing on people that I knew would do film or people that I knew were recording and all of that. And I just used it as a platform to practice my own personal music and my own personal explorations with zero expectation, really. I think at first there was expectation, and then I'm like, I'm not going to win this thing ever. So, you know, I don't know what I'm allowed to say, like, screw it. Like, I'm like, I don't need to try to make this about winning. I think I could just focus on Little Moon and what I want my music to be. It's always kind of a weird experience releasing music in general into the world, because at least for my own experience, there can be a lot of second guessing. There can be a lot of self-doubt and like, oh, I don't, but I feel like I could do better now, and trying to accept the version of myself that was better for that time or was the best for its time is sometimes a difficult thing to accept. For Tiny Desk, what went into the decision for the song was just what felt most aligned. And what I mean by aligned is just most honest, perhaps. My husband and I were in a very like interesting place. This was after the pandemic. This was after his mom passed away. This was after we departed from the church. And we were left in this space of coming to terms with what grief meant for us. And since Nathan, it was his mom that passed away, I invited him to write the lyrics for this song. And I just thought it would be a very honest song to do. It wasn't necessarily like the most, I don't know. I had other songs that may have been more of like an anthem or bigger or whatever, but this was just the song that felt the most honest in the moment.
Count up on fingers all my days to the minute. Time getting shorter now the longer I'm in it.
In general, I take a really long time to process things. So the more immediate changes that were happening didn't really click for me until I was out on like the NPR tour. And during that time, I didn't digest the emotions and the experience, because all of a sudden I just had to do all this paperwork. I had to do all this organizing and figuring things out. I guess a big change that happened immediately was Little Moon became like an entity and I had to be like a daddy CEO person that was like having to like run the show. And it's a very new energy to channel for someone like me. So that was a big shock, and it still is a process even now of letting myself once again believe that I know what I want, and letting myself take risks that I want to take, and letting myself even like disappoint other people who might have other suggestions, me saying, well, I want to try it this way. It's a very different culture than what I was perhaps conditioned in. And I didn't have any management. I didn't have any team or I had like zero support. It was just me, which was like, I don't know how I did it, but I do think my body was kind of breaking down because of it. Because it's like, what are you doing to me? I don't do this sort of stuff on the regular. So that was a big, big shift to adjust to. Perhaps what another person would see as someone else making it is actually still just a person struggling. And like, that was a very interesting thing too, was realizing like, whoa, like I am like struggling. I am like, you know, people in this, it is the Wild West, I think. And I think it makes it all that much more important to be really clear with your values and what you want and your intentions, and believing yourself that those are good and that you don't need to over mold yourself. Because if you don't know who you are, like if I didn't, I think, have the established, once again, the established community of Utah and like my community and my loved ones, if I didn't have that established, I feel like this would have been a way more difficult journey. To head into.
River and oak and the yellow moon croaks as I walk on a land that was never quite mine.
I'm releasing an album October 25th and it's called Dear Divine. And I have been working on this album for the past 5 years. It's been a very long and coming album. Initially, this album was about love. I wanted to make an album that was all about embracing, you know, the quote unquote positive things of life, because I felt that my last album was all about like chaos and darkness and despair. And so I'm like, I'm going to write an album that's happy. and then the pandemic hit. Nate's mom passed away. We had more of a legitimate, I guess you could say, departure from the LDS church. And this album all of a sudden became a grief album. And I didn't really know how to reckon with my own grief and with the grief I was witnessing in Nathan, my husband. And eventually it clicked and made sense, of course, that maybe a love album and a grief album aren't too different. And actually, maybe they're one and the same. So then it became an album that holds both love and grief and speaks to the importance of both of those attributes interchanging, intertwining, and dancing together, and that those are both really important components to deepening my own humanity. This album became a sort of journal or an installation of and a sort of reverence towards the messy, complex reality of what we call love and what we call grief. I had in mind always that this was a love album, and I think my own life trajectory needed to experience really intense examples of grief sort of as a message to myself, I think, that as much as I wanted to write just like a quote unquote love album, it couldn't be done perhaps as sincerely for myself without the element of grief. Grief was kind of the missing ingredient, perhaps, to to it being a love album that feels honest to me. You can find me on Instagram at little.moon.music. My music is streaming everywhere, anywhere. And I am playing a show November 7th in Salt Lake City at Urban Lounge. And then the next day in Park City, which will be a stripped down show, just very acoustic. The full band sparkly experience will be at Urban Lounge. So I'd recommend people head on over there. And then we'll be off on the road in the Wild West. But 18 Parts is a song that speaks to sort of the summary of all of this. The various parts of ourselves that struggle, the various parts of ourselves that feel very egotistical, the very parts of ourselves that want to scream, the parts of ourselves that feels elated and in love and happy. It's all just a mess of emotions that is beautiful because it is a mess. And I think it's a song that represents deep and vulnerable pieces of my own humanity. And it's a song that I use to tell myself that it's okay to be a messy, vulnerable person. So I'd recommend playing 18 Parts.
To my worth, to my worth.
If you enjoyed this episode of Sound Waves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivy, coordinated by William Hughes, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy any place cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Sound Waves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.